Our gospel lesson for this day comes from Matthew 5. You heard it last week, you're going to hear it again today. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives life to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. A few Sundays ago, we looked at what is called the Beatitudes, which reflect God's blessing and favor, especially upon those who suffer in life. Like, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are persecuted for seeking justice. And those verses begin the Gospel of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, three full chapters. But immediately following the encouraging message of the Beatitudes, we hear Jesus teaching about what discipleship looks like in the realm of God. And in this instance, he does that through the images and metaphors of salt and light. And the image of light, as I think we all know, is very common throughout the scriptures. And we refer to it often, including in many of our hymns. But the image of salt, however, is much less common. So let's talk about salt. Good old sodium chloride, NaCl, to you chemist and geologist types. Table salt is so incredibly common and inexpensive today that we don't think twice about it. But not so historically. And I'm sure you've heard the following figures of speech, all which have very different meanings. That good person is the salt of the earth. I take what he's saying with a grain of salt, or a pinch of salt. You are worth your weight in salt. Or negatively, that person is not worth their salt. These idioms all have a basis in the historical understanding of the uses of salt. Earlier this week, I found the following on an elementary science education curriculum website, msnucleus.org. It says salt is essential to life. It is used every day in many aspects of our lives, from manufacturing to water purification. It's also an essential ingredient for maintaining a fluid balance in our bodies. Common salt, when mixed with ice, lowers the melting point of ice, thus it melts. Common salt is also used in many manufacturing processes, including in the making of cement. It's employed as a preservative or a seasoning in food processing, for curing hides, and as a brine for refrigeration. And salt is often said to be worth its weight in gold and has played a vital role in every civilization since the beginning of time. It served to preserve and improve the taste of food. It has served as money and as a spiritual icon. And here are some examples. The ancient Greeks exchanged their slaves for salt. Romans paid their soldiers partly in salt. And by the way, the word salary, getting paid, a salary, comes from the Latin word salarium, a derivative of the word sal, which means salt. The French Revolution was sparked in part by a salt tax. Ancient Ethiopians used salt discs as a form of currency. And in the United States, the Erie Canal was built largely to transport salt. And in Slavic countries, salt is given to a bride and groom to symbolize health and happiness. Well, with that background, which I shared more for my enjoyment than perhaps yours, let me ask, What do you suppose Jesus meant when he used this metaphor? You are the salt of the earth. Well, it's very necessary to take a look at each word in this phrase. First of all, the word you, as in you are the salt of the earth, is plural in the Greek, not singular. We learn that the life of discipleship, the way of Jesus, is conceived as life within a community of faith, rather than simply an individualistic, isolated life or spirituality. Life in biblical times was highly communal, quite a contrast from the God-alone individualism of our modern culture. And the scriptures themselves warn us against a privatized religion. That's quite a temptation. But since you're here at church this morning, I guess you don't need reminding of that. And the second word in Jesus' metaphor, perhaps the most important, you are the salt of the earth. Before Jesus tells his disciples, including us, what we are to do, he tells us who we are. There was an ancient Greek ethic that urged people to become what you should be. Jesus replaces this with the Christian ethic, become what you are. In Jesus' teaching, wholeness stands as God's gift at the very beginning, not the end. And Jesus did not challenge his disciples nor us to try harder to be like salt. He tells his followers that they already are the salt of the earth. In other words, we are not told to become salty, we are challenged to stay salty. That is, to be devoted and faithful followers of Jesus in the fullness of what that means. And the last word in the phrase, earth, reminds us that we are to be more than just the salt of the church, but rather of the whole world. For all its different connotations, meanings, and uses for salt, it's believed that Jesus was referring to its most obvious quality as a seasoning to enhance and add flavor to food. And on this point, biblical commentator William Barclay, who wrote over 60 years ago, Christianity is to life what salt is to food. Christianity adds flavor to life. But he goes on to add, however, the tragedy is that so often people have connected Christianity with precisely the opposite. They have connected Christianity with that which takes flavor out of life. And that, in my opinion, is still reflected in the form of Christianity that is dominated by the imperative, don't do this and don't do that. And early 20th century Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. once said, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. I'm trying to break that mold. Well, that's a good lead into what Jesus states in his follow-up phrase. If salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. In other words, salt serves an important purpose. It has a function. And when it no longer functions or serves that person, it becomes useless and irrelevant. So Jesus offers a challenge and a warning. If we, as disciples and as the church, deny or fail to engage in mission and ministry, as in putting our faith into action, then we too can become, in all practicality, useless and irrelevant. That's how many, especially the younger generations, perceive organized religion today. But you know, I am proud of this congregation. For over the decades, your witness has become well known throughout Eastern Oklahoma Presbytery and in parts of Tulsa and beyond. We are known as a salty church. And that's a good thing. And to use a different metaphor, we are kind of like the ants in the pants of organized religion. We exist as a congregation to build community and to engage in relevant mission and ministry. This is not to say, however, that there isn't an inward and internal dimension to discipleship. Rather, it's a way to emphasize and highlight the importance of our discipleship in its outward and external dimensions. Now, in today's gospel reading, Jesus continues with another familiar metaphor, saying that you are the light of the world. As bearers of light, Jesus declares that we are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hid, and like a lamp that is used to light a home. In what seems obvious, Jesus reminds us that the function and purpose of a lamp is to provide illumination in dark places. It must not be hid, therefore, under a bushel basket where it does no good. Well, in an email sent out from the National Office of More Light Presbyterians 3 years ago, the then new executive director, Alex Patchen McNeil, reflected on the scripture passage from Matthew 5. And Alex, you may be interested to know, is a female-to-male transgender person, offers the following challenge in connection with the times when we hide our light under a bushel basket. And he writes, in this text, Jesus is coming to us to ask, how might we be the ones holding on too tightly to the bushel basket over our heads? Where are the places where we've allowed our lights to be dimmed? The problem with clinging so tightly to our own bushel baskets is that it means we cannot see the light of others, nor can we be a point of light for someone who is sitting in darkness. Without light, how can darkness know it can be illuminated? And Alex goes on to challenge those of us who are part of the More Light Presbyterian Network and movement to help hoist the bushel basket off our own congregations and our denomination. Well, there has indeed been much progress over the last 3 years, including extending marriage equality to all in our denomination. Well, if all this sounds a bit overwhelming, I want to emphasize that we do not have to be salt and light alone, but should take advantage of those opportunities when we can join with others who are doing the same. And as one of the growing number of progressive congregations in Tulsa, we are doing that now more than ever with other progressive churches. And finally, we are to share that light with a hurting world. The scripture tells us how? Through our good works. After all, faith without works is dead, to quote the book of James. And it's important to remember why we do good works. It's not just to help others. And it must not be out of some sense of self-serving pride in order to boost our own status within the community. That is why Jesus declares, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. So in order for our light to be seen and have any effect, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists, whether it be out in the world or within ourselves. And to engage and walk through that darkness so that in time the light may overcome it. We must claim our identity and our mission by being and doing what we already are. We are salt, enhancing, spicing up, and adding flavor to life. We are light, illuminating the darkness in and through our good works. Stay salty. Be a light. Be who you are. And to God be the glory. Amen.